I want to tell you about a pattern I see so consistently in clinic that I have started to think of it as a category of patient. She's done the work. She's cut out gluten and seen some improvement. She's taken the probiotics, the expensive ones, the right strains, consistently for months. You've had that stool analysis. She's read about the gut-immune connection, tried the anti-inflammatory diet, done the gut protocol that a nutritionist recommended. And she's better than she was, a bit, but not well. Not the sustained fundamental shift that she's hoping for. Maybe energy has improved, but marginally. Bloating is a little bit better. But maybe still catching every illness, still having flares that she can't predict, still crashes after stress in a way that takes days to recover from, still getting a foggy head at 2 in the afternoon that no amount of sleep seems to fix. And then comes to me and says, with that particular exhaustion of somebody who has spent a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of hope on their health, "I've tried everything, why am I not feeling better?" The answer in almost every case is the same. You've been looking at two corners of a triangle and the third one is missing. The one that nobody addressed is undoing everything else. Welcome back to the Good Health Podcast. I'm Nicole Good, certified functional medicine practitioner, author of Optimal You, and founder of the Good Health Clinic. If you listened to last week's episode, you now understand the gut-immune axis, why the gut is the immune system headquarters, what disrupts that relationship, and what functional medicine does to restore it. If you haven't listened to that one yet, I genuinely recommend it going back to that one first, because this episode is going to build directly on that foundation. What I want to do today is add the third piece of the picture, the piece that explains why a gut protocol on its own so often delivers partial results. Why immune support in isolation keeps so many people stuck in a cycle of improvement and relapse. Why the people who get the most consistent and durable results are the ones working on three systems simultaneously. And that third piece is the adrenal system, or more precisely, the HPA axis, your stress response system. And the triangle it forms with your gut and your immune system is the most important clinical pattern that I work with. So let's get straight into it. Let me start by making sure that we're working from the same understanding of what the adrenal system actually is, because the word adrenals gets thrown around a lot in functional medicine circles, and it doesn't always come with enough context. Your adrenal glands are two glands that sit on top of your kidneys. They produce a range of hormones, including adrenaline, DHEA, aldosterone, and most relevantly for today's conversation, cortisol. Cortisol is your primary stress hormone, but that framing, stress hormone, undersells it significantly. Cortisol is involved in blood sugar regulation, immune modulation, inflammation control, sleep-wake cycle regulation, metabolism, and cardiovascular function. It's not a hormone that only matters when we're talking about stress. It's a fundamental regulatory hormone that affects almost every system in your body every single day. The system that governs cortisol production is called the HPA axis, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. And it works like this. Your brain perceives a stressor, physical, psychological, physiological, real, or perceived. And it sends a signal down a chain of command. The hypothalamus signals the pituitary signals the adrenal glands, and the adrenal glands produce the cortisol. The cortisol then feeds back to the brain to say, message received, response is underway, you can now stand down. And that feedback loop, when it's working properly, is really elegant. Acute stressor arrives, cortisol rises, body responds, stressor passes, cortisol falls, system resets. You feel the demand of the stressor and then you recover from it. The problem, and this is the problem I see in clinic every single day, is that the system was designed for acute recoverable stress, not for the kind of chronic, unrelenting, never fully resolving stress that characterizes modern life. The sustained pressure of a demanding job, financial worry that doesn't have an end point, a difficult relationship that doesn't resolve, the physical stress of a chronic illness the body can't find its way out of, or just the modern busy life. These are not the stresses that the HPA axis was built for. And when they persist long enough, the system starts to break down. In functional medicine, we talk about two distinct patterns of HPA dysfunction. And it's worth understanding both because they feel very different from the inside. And this is something that we've talked about before on the podcast, so I'm going to run through this quickly. But the first is HPA hyperactivation. This is the early stage. The system is working in overtime. Cortisol is being produced in high quantities. The feedback loop is overwhelmed. And you're in a state of sustained physiological alertness that never quite resolves. This is the wired but tired pattern that so many of my patients describe. High energy at the wrong times, alert at midnight, thoughts racing at 3 a.m. in the morning, difficulty switching off, anxiety that seems disproportionate to the actual circumstances, a body that is perpetually primed, for a threat that never fully arrives and never fully passes. And then second, that HPA hypoactivation. So sometimes called adrenal fatigue, though that term is contested and we'll come back to why. This tends to be the later stage. So when the system has been running at high output for a long time and it starts to fall and then flatten. Cortisol output drops, the morning cortisol spike, which is what helps you get out of bed and makes you functional, becomes blunted. You wake up exhausted. You need significant quantities of caffeine to get going. You crash in the afternoon. Small stresses feel enormous. You feel like you're running on empty in a way that rest doesn't really ever fix, because the problem isn't tiredness. It's dysregulation of that cortisol curve. Now, neither of these patterns show up on a standard GP blood test, which is one reason why they go undetected for so long. So a 4-point, 5-point salivary cortisol assessment is much better. This measures cortisol. We get like waking, mid-morning, afternoon, evening. And it's the way that we actually map the HPA rhythm in functional medicine. And when you see that curve plotted out, the pattern becomes immediately legible in a way that a single cortisol reading simply cannot show. And the number of times that I've pulled one of these test results up and I've been able to walk through the test result and say to the client, I think you will now feel like this at this time of day. At this time of day, you'll probably feel like this. And then nodding along and saying, yes, they're seeing themselves in that report. So that's the adrenal system. Now let's talk about what it does to the gut and the immune system when it goes wrong. I want to walk you through the mechanisms here with some specificity, because I think understanding exactly how this happens is what turns a vague awareness of stress is bad for your health into something genuinely actionable. So what does chronic cortisol do to the gut? Cortisol, when elevated chronically, directly damages the gut lining. It increases gut permeability by disrupting the tight junction proteins that hold the gut barrier cells together. If you listened to last week's episode, you'll remember that the gut lining is one cell thick and the integrity of that barrier is fundamental to immune health. Chronically elevated cortisol unpicks that barrier at a cellular level. Cortisol also suppresses the production of secretory IgA, so that immune antibody that lines the gut and acts as your first line of immune defense against pathogens and toxins. When secretory IgA is low, the gut's own immune surveillance function is compromised. Pathogens that would normally be intercepted at the gut lining get further than they should. And cortisol also disrupts the microbiome. So the composition of the gut microbiome is regulated in part by the neuroendocrine environment, the hormonal signals that the gut receives from the brain and the body. When the cortisol signal is dysregulated, the microbiome shifts. Beneficial bacteria decrease, pathogenic bacteria increase, diversity, which is one of the most reliable markers of a healthy microbiome, tends to fall. So chronic cortisol dysregulation, increased gut permeability, suppressed gut immune surveillance, disrupted microbiome. And that's the adrenal-gut connection. And as we established last week, a compromised gut is a compromised immune system. So we're just adding another piece to that puzzle. So what does chronic cortisol do to your immune system directly? In acute stress, cortisol is anti-inflammatory. That's one of its key roles, to suppress the immune response in the short term so the body can redirect resources to dealing with the immediate threat. And that is adaptive. This is a system working as it was designed to do. In chronic stress, that relationship inverts. So immune cells become resistant to cortisol's anti-inflammatory signal. The suppression effect fails. And what takes place is not a well-regulated immune response, it's a dysregulated one. Pro-inflammatory cytokines, the chemical messengers of inflammation, they increase without adequate cortisol-driven modulation. Chronic low-grade inflammation becomes the background state. And this is why the research on chronic stress and immune function is so consistent and so stark. People under sustained stress have measurably higher rates of infection. They catch more illness and they take longer to recover. They have higher circulating inflammatory markers and they have significantly higher rates of autoimmune disease because of chronically dysregulated immune system, which is an autoimmune risk factor in a way that's now very well established within the literature. And here's the piece that I think is most important to understand, because it explains why these patterns are so self-reinforcing and why looking at one system in isolation so rarely resolves them. Chronic stress dysregulates the HPA axis. That dysregulation compromises the gut. A compromised gut drives systemic inflammation. Systemic inflammation activates the HPA axis. Inflammation is itself a physiological stressor, and the body responds to it as such, producing more cortisol. So more cortisol further compromises the gut. The gut immune dysregulation drives more inflammation. More inflammation drives more HPA activation. The triangle feeds itself. You can suppress the immune activation with medication and feel better, but the gut and the adrenal drivers reassert themselves. You can heal the gut to a degree, but if the cortisol tap is still running, the gut lining is continuously being eroded faster than you will be able to repair it. You can manage the adrenal picture, but if the gut is generating constant immune activation and inflammatory signaling, the HPA axis cannot fully reset. And this is why looking at one corner of the triangle or two is only getting partial results. And this is why the "I've tried everything" is so often the presenting complaint of someone who has in fact tried a lot. They've just not finished joining up these pathways. So I want to spend a few minutes helping you to identify which corner of the triangle might be more dominant for you. Because the triangle doesn't look the same in every person. For some people, the adrenal picture is clearly the lead. The HPA dysregulation is the original driver and everything else is downstream of it. For others, the gut might have come first. So years of digestive issues, antibiotic use, a diet that compromised the microbiome, and the immune and the adrenal consequences followed. For others still, it might be an immune trigger, so an infection, a period of intense immune activation that started that cascade. The entry point matters less than you might think. The pattern once established tends to look similar regardless of where it started, but identifying the original driver and the current dominant driver shapes the sequence in which you might address things. So the adrenal dominant pattern tends to look like this. You function well under pressure until you don't. Your energy is linked tightly to your stress level. So when life is calm, you feel better. When pressure rises, you deteriorate rapidly. You might notice that your gut symptoms get dramatically worse during stressful periods, or that you catch illnesses when you finally stop. So the classic holiday collapse. That your sleep is the first thing to go when life gets demanded, and that disrupted sleep makes everything else worse. Your crashes might feel disproportionate, so a stressful week will lead you needing days to recover. You feel depleted in a way that doesn't match the objective demand. And you may have tried gut protocols that helped a bit but never really held, because every time life ramped up, that cortisol tap reopened and eroded the progress. That's an adrenal dominant pattern. So the gut dominant pattern tends to look like this. The digestive symptoms come first, or they're the most obvious feature. So bloating, food sensitivities, that IBS type picture. You've noticed that your immune function is poor, you get ill often, but you've always thought of these as separate problems. Your energy has a particular quality, so maybe it dips after eating, or especially after eating things that your gut reacts to. You feel better when you're eating well and worse when you're not, in a way that's predictable and consistent. You may have had periods of good gut health and then it collapsed when life got stressful. That's a really telling sign. The gut maybe responds to an adrenal signal. And when you realize that, the question becomes not just how do I heal my gut, but how do I create the conditions in which my gut can stay healed? So that's a gut dominant pattern. What about the immune dominant pattern? So this tends to look like a place where the immune picture is the loudest feature. So a diagnosis or recurrent infections or chronic inflammation, a skin condition that flares unpredictably. You may not have obvious gut symptoms, which is why that gut connection is easy to miss, but you'll often find on reflection that your immune flares correlate with periods of gut disruption. So after a stomach bug, after a course of antibiotics, after a period of not eating as well or drinking more, you might also notice that your adrenal picture is more pronounced at the same time as your immune flares. So that stress reliably precedes or worsens your immune symptoms. That the pattern of your condition maps to the rhythm of your life. And that's not a coincidence. So in practice, most people have elements of all three of these. The clinical picture is not cleanly siloed, but there is usually a dominant pattern. And identifying it is that first step to working through the triangle strategically rather than randomly. So when I sit with a patient, we're going to map this out together. We're going to look at the full health history, the timeline, the testing. The pattern almost always becomes legible. And when it does, the frustration of "I've tried everything" resolves into something much more useful, a clear picture of what to do next and why. So let's talk about what working with the triangle actually looks like. And I want to give you a little bit of a framework here, not a prescription, but because the individual picture always shapes the specific interventions that we work with, but a framework that makes the approach feel legible. The core principle is sequencing, You're not addressing three independent problems, you're addressing one system. So three interconnected subsystems that need to be moved together. The sequence in which you intervene and the degree to which you are working on the three corners simultaneously determines whether you'll get partial results or a genuine resolution. So working on the adrenal corner, let's look at that. The first priority here is always going to be stabilizing blood sugar. This is the single most underrated adrenal intervention. And it's the one I start with almost every patient when we're looking at the adrenals, regardless of how the triangle looks. Every time blood sugar drops, and it drops faster than most people realize, particularly if you're on a high carb, low protein or meal skipping diet, cortisol rises to mobilize glucose stores. For someone whose HPA axis is already dysregulated, that repeated cortisol spike is fuel on the fire. So stabilizing blood sugar through protein with every meal, reducing refined carbohydrates and sugar, and not going for more than 4 or 5 hours without eating creates a dramatically calmer hormonal environment within days. Second priority then is nutrient replenishment. The HPA axis runs through nutrients at a significant rate, especially when under sustained stress. So we're looking at things like magnesium, vitamin C, B5, B6, and zinc. And these are not optional extras for a stress system. They are the raw materials that the adrenal glands need to function. Magnesium in particular, which is depleted by cortisol, is also required for cortisol production. It is so consistently low in my stress patients that it's almost everyone that we see this in. And the third priority is that cortisol rhythm, because it's not just a quantity of cortisol that matters, it's the pattern. The morning spike should be high, not elevated, but should be high. We should be seeing that spike. And that's what gets you out of bed and functional in the morning. The evening level should be low. That's what helps you get to sleep. And it should slowly drop over the course of the day. Circadian rhythm support, so things like consistent sleep and wake times, morning light exposure, avoiding screens in the hour before bed, managing evening cortisol with magnesium or with adaptogenic herbs where indicated. That's how you're going to start to restore a healthy rhythm rather than just managing it at an overall level. And then working on that gut corner. We looked at the 4R framework in detail in the last episode, the remove, the replace, the inoculate, and the repair. So I'm not going to repeat all of that here, but I want to add something to it in the context of the triangle. The 4Rs assume a reasonably stable environment in which gut healing can take place. If the adrenal picture is not being addressed simultaneously, that environment doesn't exist. So you can take L-glutamine every day to repair the gut lining, and cortisol will continue to increase permeability. You can re-inoculate the microbiome with the best probiotic available for you, and a dysregulated HPA axis will continue to shift the microbiome in the wrong direction. This is not an argument against a gut protocol. It's an argument for running the gut protocol and the adrenal work in parallel. The gut protocol needs adrenal support in order to hold, and adrenal work is significantly harder to sustain when the gut is continuously generating inflammatory signals that activate the HPA axis. In practice, this means dietary changes that support both gut healing and blood sugar stability at the same time, anti-inflammatory nutrition that reduces the immune-driven HPA activation that is stressing the adrenals, sleep support that allows both gut repair and HPA axis rhythm restoration overnight. And then we come to working on that immune corner. The immune corner responds to the gut and the adrenal work in a way that I find consistently remarkable in clinical practice. When the gut barrier is restored and the microbiome is more diverse and balanced, immune calibration improves. The overactive, dysregulated response starts to settle. When the adrenal picture is more stable and cortisol is less chronically elevated, the immune regulation improves. The pro-inflammatory cytokine environment starts to resolve. In other words, the immune system is largely a downstream beneficiary of good gut and adrenal work. But that doesn't mean that immune-specific interventions are not needed. Things like high-dose vitamin D, omega-3 fatty acids, specific immune-modulating botanicals, all of these things can be really beneficial. But in my experience, doing these things, so having these immune-specific supplementations, need to be done while the gut and the adrenal foundations are there. If the system doesn't have the foundation for it, the immune support is not going to land properly. There is one immune-specific piece, though, that I always address in parallel, sometimes even first, and that is the inflammation. Directly reducing the inflammatory load, so through omega-3 fatty acids, through polyphenol-rich foods, through removing the dietary drivers of inflammation, through sleep and movement, reduces the HPA activation that inflammation drives. And that stabilizes the adrenals and protects the gut. So the triangle's working in both directions. So you're not treating this like three different problems. You're restoring one system. The interventions overlap significantly. What supports the gut also supports the adrenals, also supports the immune calibration. Dietary change, sleep, blood sugar stability, stress physiology support, targeted nutrient replenishment. These are not separate protocols. These are running together in parallel. They are one protocol working on the whole triangle, which is why the results, when the work is genuinely joined up, feel qualitatively different from the partial improvements of addressing one corner at a time. So let's come back to that patient that I described at the start of this episode, the one that's tried everything, done the gut work, supported the immune system, and is better, but not well. Here's what I want this patient to hear. You have not failed. You've just been working on two corners of a three-cornered system. You're just missing one piece of the puzzle. The progress that you've made is real. It's just being continuously undermined by something else, and that is what's missing, something that nobody has addressed yet. The cortisol tap has been running the whole time, eroding the gut lining faster than it heals, preventing the immune calibration from stabilizing, generating the HPA activation that makes the whole picture harder to resolve. The answer is not to try harder. The answer is to find that missing piece, to work through the triangle, and to allow the work that you've already done to actually hold. So the question I'd like you to sit with this week is, which of the three patterns, adrenal dominant, gut dominant, or immune dominant, do you think most closely describes your experience? Not to try and diagnose yourself, but just to orient yourself. Because the triangle looks the same for everyone, but the entry points shape the sequence. And knowing where you're at right now is the beginning of a much clearer clinical picture. So a few things before we finish. Both the gut immune axis and the adrenal gut immune triangle are covered in Optimal You. That's my 12-pillar framework that gives you the complete picture of how these systems connect and what to do about each one. And the link to the book is in the show notes below. The Optimal You 7-day reset was specifically designed to work on all three corners simultaneously. Gut support, inflammation reduction, blood sugar stabilization, stress physiology, nutrients, and sleep protocol. All in 1 week, helping you to build those foundations at a level of commitment that's sustainable. And right now, it's just $7.99. The link to that is also in the show notes. Next Monday, in the third episode of this month, we go into the stress autoimmune connection and the science behind why I have never, not once, seen an autoimmune case where stress was not part of the story. It's one of the most important and consistently under-acknowledged areas of autoimmune and immune health in functional medicine. And I think it will shift something for a lot of you. So subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss out. And if this episode has given the I've tried everything person in your life an explanation that might actually help them, then share it. That's why this podcast exists. I'll see you next Monday. You've been listening to the Good Health Podcast. I'm Nicole Good, certified functional medicine practitioner and author of Optimal You. You can find me at goodhealth.uk, G-O-O-D-E, on Instagram at Good Health Clinic, and wherever you get your podcasts. Show notes and all the resources are linked below. See you next week.